This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
President Barack Obama visits India. There's a deadly crash near the Troutdale Outlet Mall, and affordable chocolate could run out in 20 years.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, gird yourselves for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, November 8th, 2010. There was a man died after his car crashed into a large pickup truck near the Troutdale Outlet Mall on Sunday afternoon. Investigators believe the victim's Acura Integra had some sort of mechanical problem, which led to the crash.
It had a botanical problem?
Yes, it was filled with plants and bees.
Okay.
No, it was a mechanical problem,
all
actually.
Right.
The man struck an oncoming Ford F-250 pickup truck on 257th Avenue around 4 p.m. When police arrived at the scene, the driver of the Acura was dead and slumped over his steering wheel. A juvenile in the other vehicle was injured, but not seriously. The name of the victim will be released after his family has been notified. So, President Barack Obama thinks there should be another seat on the UN Security Council. He arrived in India's capital today.
I'm sorry, this is Undersecretary Barack Obama?
No, this is actually the President, President Barack Obama.
You're sure you got that right there?
It's what it says on the paper.
Okay, the B isn't silent.
No, President...
It's not Iraq, not Iraq or Obama.
President Obama.
Okay, just checking.
U.S. President Barack Obama, in fact. He arrived in India's capital today with Prime Minister Manmohan Singh greeting him and First Lady Michelle Obama. After his arrival, the president took time to address the dignitaries and said the partnership between the two countries is strong.
This is India?
It is indeed.
I believe that the partnership between the United States and India will be one of the defining partnerships of the 21st century. We are the two largest democracies in the world. We share extraordinary people-to-people contacts. Most importantly, we share a core set of values.
We share people-to-people contacts. Is that like a new service from MSN or something? What is a people-to-people contact? And can it possibly be correct in a grammatical sense?
I don't know. Is it sort of like how with some other countries, like Botswana, we don't have a lot of people-to-people. We don't actually talk to them person-to-person much.
I don't really know.
We talk about them behind their back.
All I know is this, is that the way that you can tell this is a lie is that
We never really have to say this about Canada. You know, like, we never have to go, you know, we don't have to go to Calgary and go like, and I say to you now that we are allies and friends with Calgary, because everybody sort of knows that it's true. We only do that with countries that we're not really, that we don't really mean it about. That's why we say it about Saudi Arabia, you know? Seriously, well, the only time we ever say that about a country is when it's just patently non-believable to everyone.
It's sort of like when there's like a girl that you don't really like very much, and say, "No, really, she's a really nice person."
I think it's like
everyone knows you're lying.
It's sort of like, you know, it's like when the Corleones and the Tattaglias have to sort of mouth publicly that the you know, that there is no dispute or war happening between the you know, between the families. But everybody knows that that's not the case. That it's just a thing you're saying until you get past the funeral, and then you know that the guy who approaches you is in fact the one who was plotting your demise.
Well, the president spoke about the importance of a good relationship between our two countries.
We took this trip with the intention of strengthening what is already an incredible friendship between the United States and India.
This is like when somebody who's running a really dirty campaign says, you know, that my esteemed competitor or the other candidate who I admire and who has served his country, or when two guys are just flinging a bunch of verbal manure at each other on the floor of Congress and they say, well, my esteemed colleague, who I believe is gravely mistaken, but is nonetheless a patriot. And clearly, you know, that he's just at home praying every night that the guy gets some sort of horrible spinal cancer.
Yeah. He's actually on this trip with a whole bunch of business guys. You know who one of the people is on the trip with him?
No.
CEO of Walmart.
Really?
Yeah.
Sure, it's a coincidence.
They have protectionist laws in India, that the sort that we don't have here, where it's like you're only allowed to own, like, say, three stores. Because that way it keeps the market competitive and keeps people from getting monopolies and stuff. And basically, one of the reasons that Walmart is there is that they're going to try and break the protectionist laws so that they can, like, fill India up with Walmarts.
Well, it's also good to see where your shoes are made every now and again.
And to this end, he gets to travel with the president of the United States.
Well, look, I mean, if running Walmart doesn't get you, you know, at least 5 minutes with the president, then really somebody has misjudged the way the power system works here in America.
Yeah. Meanwhile, speaking to the Indian Parliament today, the president advocated the idea of expanding the permanent members of the UN's governing body to include India, the world's largest democracy, in what the Washington Post calls a powerful endorsement of India's growing economic power and global aspirations. Obama told Indian lawmakers, "The United States not only welcomes India as a rising global power, we fervently support it, and we have worked to help make it a reality." The Global Post, Jason Overdorf, said it's probably not aggressive enough for Indian leaders. American support for a change in the Security Council is no guarantee of actual change on the Security Council. The pace of reform at the United Nations is notoriously slow, and other member nations, particularly China, have little interest in seeing their power diluted.
All I know is I love that chicken tikka masala. That's the whole thing, especially if you get the extra naan that comes with it occasionally. So as long as the price of that remains relatively stable, I could give a rip about everything else.
Well, the president is meeting with the prime minister and parliament today. Here is some audio of the president's arrival in New Delhi this morning.
Apparently he's arriving India to the sounds of Halo 3. All right. Fantastic.
Meanwhile, a crowd gathered over the weekend to protest President Obama's visit, chanting slogans like "No Obama" and waving signs that carried phrases like "Stop Oppressor." Where the president is scheduled to arrive Tuesday in Indonesia, where he spent part of his childhood on his trip through Asia. In advance of his visit, huge crowds of Indonesian Muslims rallied to protest Obama and what they say are his anti-Islamic policies.
Here's the thing, is somebody clearly need to get an advance man down there, because the cleverer way to put that would just to have the sign say, "No Obama," because then at least looks like you get a little flair, a little panache going on.
Yeah, and "Stop Oppressor" is missing some article.
Also, it's overly vague.
Right. Yeah, that could be any of a number of people.
Yeah, all right.
We don't see the difference between Obama and Bush. They both oppress Muslims. They both have blood on their hands, the spokesman for one Muslim group said. Obama can talk all he wants in Cairo and in Jakarta. The fact is he still has the troops in war with Muslims. It's all lip service. Where am I?
I don't know, but I'll take advantage of this pause to say that you are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, November 8th, and 10. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, coming up later on this hour, we'll have your Science in the March, also entertainment news, and so forth. If you want to get this program via your mobile device, you can do that at mobile.cascadia.fm. It is mobile.cascadia.fm. It's also available via iTunes later on in the day and is a direct MP3 download here or legionofnews.com. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll have the Rick Emerson radio program. Today, we'll have a recap of last night's Walking Dead, also the season finale of Eastbound and Down, plus... Plus Boardwalk Empire, plus...
I didn't see that.
Of Eastbound and Down?
Yeah.
You go stand in the corner for 5 minutes and think about your failure to keep up with your own culture.
I'm ashamed.
It's a 28-minute program.
There's so much television to watch, Rick. I had to watch Walking Dead this morning, and then I'll have to admit, I knew I was forgetting something, but then I started watching Boardwalk Empire, totally forgot. Then we had visitors in the studio. Everything just went... I missed it. It's a hectic life I live. Hectic.
Mm-hmm.
Filled with chaos and
all right.
Whoa.
This is like one of those things when Ali Velshi downgrades a stock. You're no longer a buy. You're a don't sell at best right now. We'll see how your tote board sits at the end of the day. In any event, I, Rick Emerson, will be recapping the season finale of Eastbound and Down, which was awesome, by the way. Perhaps the most glorious half an hour of television that's ever been broadcast. I would say it's not really going to hold up if you don't see it in the moment, though. If you don't share it, at least on the same night as the rest of your countrymen, I think it's probably going to pale. We'll also talk to Mr. Aaron Duran. He'll have the Week in Geek. We'll do the top five zombie songs. It's coming up later on the day. The Rick Emerson Show at rickemerson.com. This is Don Taylor.
Authorities say a Gig Harbor, Washington woman was attacked by a black bear Sunday morning while she was walking her dog. The Tacoma News Tribune reports that the woman was walking in a wooded area with her unleashed dog when the bear appeared. The dog chased after the bear when they encountered it. The woman then went to retrieve the dog and got between the dog and the bear. The bear attacked. Pierce County Sheriff's spokesman Ed Troyer says the woman was later found by another person walking near the area. She has severe bite wounds on her arm and bite marks on her back, but is in good spirits at a Tacoma hospital. The dog survived.
Well, you got to give it up to, first of all, the dog for trying to protect the woman and then the woman trying to protect the dog.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of, you know, that's how the relationship is supposed to work. On the other hand, you're both effed because it's like there's no protecting anything from a bear.
No.
I mean, if a bear wants to eat you, you will be eaten. So I'm reading this book right now called A Walk in the Woods, which is actually by Bill Bryson, who was the guy who wrote A Short History of Nearly Everything. But he walked the entire length of the Appalachian Trail, which is a thing that a lot of people sort of, I guess it's a thing that a lot of people start, but 95% of the people get about 100 miles in and they go like, F this, I'm done. But one of the huge dangers of the Appalachian Trail is bears. So he has an entire chapter about, in his sort of great droll and dry, gleeful British humor about what a bear will do to you. And he relates all kinds of just, you know, anecdotes about people who misjudged, I think, their relationship with or their ability to frighten off bears. Also this. He notes that all of the jazz about the, you know, with some bears you're supposed to play dead and other bears you're supposed to, I don't know. It's like that thing they would say about punching a shark in the nose.
Yeah.
You know, as though that's, which is just stuff they say to, like, give you something to occupy your final moment on Earth before you end up in the belly of a creature much larger and slaverous than yourself. But the thing with the bear, apparently that works no better than, like half the time. You might as well just flip a coin. Sometimes, and playing dead, by the way, seems like it would be exceptionally difficult to do while the thing is, you know, taking bites of your femur.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm just saying that, if you get confronted by a bear, there really is no right way to proceed.
I don't know if I would have the presence of mind to actually do anything intelligent if I was confronted with a bear or a shark. I would probably just stand in one place and go, oh, crap,
yeah.
I am so dead now.
Yeah, he actually does say at one point, he said, my advice if you were to encounter any kind of bear is just to run. Not that this will help, but will it give you something to do with your last few moments on Earth? You don't want to die bored. So there you go, the end.
Two men have been rescued from the Red Wall climbing area of Smith Rock State Park. KTVZ-TV in Bend, Oregon, reported that 24-year-old Ian Wallace Carlson of Puyallup, Washington.
Of where?
I don't know. How do you pronounce that?
Oh, man. That was the biggest locality choke.
Puyallup. It's Puyallup, Washington.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sticking by that. Okay, you're from Washington. How do you say that?
It's Puyallup.
There's not a yeah in it.
Boy, that is... Can I just tell you...
Where's the yeah part come from?
That is the... Well, you take that up with the Indians. That's not my problem. That is the biggest...
Puyallup?
That is... No.
There's no A in the middle where the yeah part would be.
You know, phone is spelled pahone. You're just going to have to deal with the fact that sometimes things look and sound different. That is the biggest Northwest shibboleth that you have failed right there. So,
all right. Puyallup?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Anyway, he called 911 about 6:45 p.m. Saturday to report that he and 22-year-old Russell Scout Howard of Gresham, Oregon, were stranded. Both had been rappelling and had underestimated the amount of rope they needed to descend the wall. Carlson was stranded about 250 feet from the bottom, and Howard was stranded about 200 feet from the bottom.
So they were going down the wall?
Yes.
All right, so they throw a rope down the wall, and they're going to the bottom of a canyon?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the Red Wall climbing area in Red Rock, in Smith Rock State Park.
Wouldn't you always overestimate the amount of rope you're going to need? Isn't that a thing where when in doubt,
yeah.
you sort of, you know, take maybe like three times as much as you might consider? Because the rope gets frayed, the rope gets torn, the rope gets lost, the rope gets eaten by a grizzly bear.
Right. Seems like the two most important things in this situation would be, one, know how much rope you have.
Yeah.
And two, know how high the wall is that you're going down.
And it seems like that information is probably readily available.
Yeah.
You know, if you choose to look it up.
Anyway, I guess they were just like dangling there or something.
For some time.
Going, crap! Not enough rope. And so the Deschutes County Sheriff's Office search and rescue people climbed to the top of Red Wall and lowered two mountain rescue members over the edge. The stranded men were attached to the mountain rescue members and lowered the rest of the way to the bottom of the wall.
Okay. You are listening to Legion of News right here at BDX-FM, at Cascadia.fm, coming to you from the glorious Northwest, home of such towns as...
Puyallup. I'm still saying it wrong, aren't I?
Puyallup? Just going to throw that out every now and again. You know, can I tell you that Mr. Tom Likas actually spent a long time learning how to pronounce Puyallup and other surrounding towns because he said he didn't want to be that guy who was broadcasting to a part of the country and was just mangling something in their hometown.
The sad thing is the very first week we did the show, I had a story from there. And
did
I
you
went,
get it correct?
I went online and I looked it up and I wrote it out phonetically so I would say it right. And this time, I just, in my head, I was like, well, I said it right last time. I must know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then realized, as I was in the middle of the sentence, that no, I was in this no return situation from which I could not save myself.
Yeah, and the way that things are spelled is really no roadmap to how they're pronounced in this part of the country. I mean, or it's like in certain parts of the East Coast. It's just, you know, there's missing vowels and silent Qs and just, you know. Like Snoqualmie, I think is missing an entire syllable that is pronounced out loud.
It's Snoqualmie?
It's Snoqualmie. Yeah, there's an A, but see, that's what I'm saying.
But that's the same thing with Puyallup.
There is an implied A there that is not actually written into the word.
Stupid.
Hey, don't. I'm just saying.
It's Washington. It's all. I'm just. Washington just makes me angry.
All right. Maybe it's hard to spell correctly when you're suffering from smallpox.
Maybe.
Here's Don Taylor.
Monopoly celebrated its 75th birthday this weekend. Phil Orbanes. Now I can't pronounce anything. And the thing is...
And I think it's Pahil.
No one will know the difference, so why don't I just make something up? Phil Johnson...
That attitude is going to serve you really well as a news person, and I'm not kidding.
No. Let's say Orbanes. Let's pronounce it that way. Phil Orbanes of Winning Moves Games has written two books on Monopoly.
I think you mean Gmes.
He says the game was introduced at an ideal time during the Great Depression.
All right, this is Monopoly 1.
Yes.
A game that gave people the chance to do what wealthy people did, namely reel and deal in real estate, see fortunes ebb and flow, was a great relief from the sort of the stress.
Now, what is it? What anniversary is it? When
75th.
Did the game come? So 75th, so it came out in 35?
Something like that, yeah.
All right.
Orbane said the game has stayed fresh thanks to versions that have come out based on other themes, like movies and sports teams.
They keep the brand vibrant because Monopoly is seen in so many more places as a result of it.
The weird off-brand like theme Monopolies are just really strange.
Yeah,
like we have one at home. Somebody gave us that's like DC Comics Monopoly. And you go around, and everything is a comic book cover, and you have to collect like the three Silver Age, Spider-Mans or something, and then except I don't even know if he's DC or Marvel.
The only one that I've actually seen that I really liked, and I don't think it really exists because it seems almost certain that Parker Brothers would not authorize this. Is it Parker Brothers or Milton Bradley?
I believe it's Parker Brothers.
Because there's one. Here's how you can tell those two companies apart, although I clearly can't. The difference between Parker Brothers and Milton Bradley, and I think you're right. I think it is Parker Brothers. Is that Milton Bradley tends to sell games that are gimmick-oriented. In other words, that have, like, the Pop-O-Matic, or that have, like... Their games have a lot of contraptions or devices that accompany them. Whereas,
like Operation.
Yeah. Whereas Parker Brothers, their games tend to be... You know, it's a more strictly intellectual game.
Monopoly is indeed Parker Brothers.
The only one that I saw that actually that I liked a lot, but which you would have to buy in some sort of weird bootleg version, is somebody made a wire version of Monopoly, which was awesome.
That would work. Though.
It was really, really cool.
The only ones that really work are the ones that are cities, because the whole point is that you're in New York in the original Monopoly, so the city ones kind of make sense. But when you get into Star Wars Monopoly and Twilight Monopoly and Yo Gabba Gabba Monopoly or something like that. It just doesn't make any sense.
Do they still sell the... Can you still buy the property that is Oriental Avenue?
Yes, you can.
Really? I mean, not that I care. I'm just curious. It just seems like one of those things that some group might have yammered about, you know, to the point that they got rid of it.
Yes, because the Asian Americans, they don't like the word Oriental.
Although, let's be honest about this, that Oriental is a prettier sounding word than Asian.
Yes.
It has a certain linguistic flow to it that I like.
Orbean says Monopoly has done a better job than many board games of warding off competition from video games.
They keep the brand vibrant because Monopoly is seen in so many more places as a result of it.
And he also says the social aspect of the game is a big part of its success story.
We sit across the game board and we start wheeling and dealing and trading and acting somewhat out of character and finding things out about each other.
By the way, somebody has... We've got two things here. Two messages back-to-back, two different people at around the same time, and I have no idea what one of them means. I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know whence it derives. This one just says... FYI to Don, the original Monopoly actually takes place in New Jersey, specifically in Atlantic City.
Oh, God, you're right. Yes.
Because that would explain Boardwalk.
Yes.
Or no, is it Boardwalk Broadway?
And Boardwalk and Park Place.
Boardwalk and Park Place.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So it's actually, because of the whole Boardwalk Empire thing, I guess it's not interesting. I guess that's one of those things that I'm saying, it's a coincidence, but it's really not. It's just a thing that I'm... It's just two things I'm happening. I'm making the connection in my head like humans do. But thank you,
alert listener, for correcting one of my many.
Well, I assumed the same thing. When you said it took place in New York, I didn't quit because everything takes place in New York, right? Because everything in America must be set in Manhattan, but it takes place in New Jersey.
That little top hat guy with the monocle, Mr. Moneybags, he looks very New York. You don't imagine a guy like that living in New Jersey.
What is his real name?
Mr. Moneybags?
No.
No, it's not?
No.
What is it?
Alfred J. Pennypacker.
Oh, it is, too. We all call him Mr. Moneybags.
Let's see. By the way, this. But then the follow-up just says, like, Rick is a dick. All right. Thank you.
That is true.
I'm not disputing it. I'm just saying I don't understand.
People point that out.
I don't really know what prompted that. I don't know if that was like, is that just what the chance card said when you pulled it? Rick is a dick. Give up all your money and go home. All right. Somebody's now clarifying. He says, linguistically speaking, Oriental Avenue should be okay since an avenue is an object and not a person.
That's true.
And when something is Oriental, that is, in fact, that is a directional description.
Left.
It's to the east.
Yes, to the east.
All right. Here is Don Taylor.
Deputies in Lewis County, Washington, say that a Facebook post led them to a large party over the weekend where several juveniles were arrested for alcohol violations. Sheriff's officials said deputies and officers from several other departments went to the home in the 100 block of Fluckinger Road.
Where?
Fluckinger Road.
Okay.
It's exactly what you think it would be, with an L. Late Saturday after seeing the post on Facebook. Eight people were arrested for investigation of minors in possession of alcohol. One person was arrested for investigation of a DUI. The man who owns the home and his friends are being investigated for contributing alcohol to minors.
Fluckinger?
Fluckinger.
Hey, can I tell you, when I was a kid, there was a friend of mine who grew up on Gay Street, which was, I mean, even at that time, was
depending,
not a thing that was a lot of fun for
depending
him.
Depending how old you are, that sort of thing is hilarious.
We were 12, and it was the funniest thing we had ever heard in our lives.
Lewis County Sheriff Steve Mansfield said in a written statement, underage drinking is a serious issue in Lewis County, and we will deal with the issue in an aggressive manner. We've had several injuries and even a death over the past year due to adults giving or allowing juveniles to consume alcohol. The Lewis County Sheriff's Office has a no-tolerance stance on this issue.
All right.
So remember, if you live there and you're going to go to a party and you're under 21, don't post about how much booze you're going to be drinking on your Facebook page.
Well, that's the weird thing about it is that Facebook has become so much the de facto form of communication for an entire section of Americans that it's... I mean, you almost wonder exactly how kids sort of convey information like this now because they are acclimated to using Facebook as the conduit by which all information is passed among their social group.
Mm-hmm.
And so there must exist or there will exist in the future some alternate online surreptitious version of Facebook to which everybody does not have access. And I mean, I know there's probably password protected message boards and stuff now, but it just seems like that's, you know, I don't know if that's simple enough or that's easy enough to set up or acquire or obtain. There's, somebody at some point will create some passworded version of Facebook that cannot be accessed by, you know.
The book Little Brother by Cory Doctorow, which is really good, by the way, you would enjoy it. But one of the things that happens is basically all laptops that kids use, everybody's laptop has basically Homeland Security spyware on it, and everybody knows it. And there's this point at which the book is basically about, you know, anarchy and rocking the system and stuff. But there comes this sort of underground network of kids who are able to communicate with each other via email under the radar by basically embedding kind of an email program within a game that they pass the game disc from person to person physically, and you install the game on your laptop, and it enables you to use this non-spyware, you know, under the radar, like email sort of protocol. It was really interesting because it actually kind of is an idea of the sort of, you know, DIY hacking that is quite possibly going to have to go on at some point in the future.
I guess you could just write a note.
You could do that.
There's also that. You could just tell a guy, like, hey, we're going to be at my house tonight. That might actually be easier.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of things that are easier, we want to talk about Squires Electric, one of our fine business partners here at Legion of News. You can find out more about them at squireselectric.com, squireselectric.com, or you can contact them at 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. So the holidays are nearly upon us, I mean the end of year holidays, because I was at Fred Meyer over the weekend, and let me just tell you, I am not one of those guys that complains about, you know, Christmas comes every year, they keep putting things up weeks in advance, it doesn't matter, I don't care. Because I think I pointed out that it was like Macy's or somebody that actually had their Christmas stuff out, I don't know, like at the end of September or some damn thing. But you walk in through Fred Meyer now, at least the Fred Meyer that's on 39th and Hawthorne, and it's like the entire, they have that huge open area when you walk in where it's like the doors are almost like garage doors, which is where I think that during the summer they have it open. And it's like they have like barbecues and stuff that are actually sort of grilling out there. But then they bring the doors down as the weather gets cold. And that entire area, it's just nothing but Christmas trees, Christmas decorations, Christmas items, gigas, tchotchkes of every kind, which is fantastic. So I am fighting off the urge to string up all of my the Christmas lights like now. I got to wait at least a couple more weeks. But once you do that, you want to make sure that your house isn't just going to sizzle to a crisp, you know, once you get everything strung up. Or you got that, like, you know, you got that that panel thing downstairs where it's like all your fuses and your switches and your light. And you're like, but you don't know where half that stuff goes. You don't know what the switches do. And the way that you know you don't know is that every time you plug in like a hairdryer and an air conditioner at the same time in July, you got to go downstairs and you're standing there and it's dark and it's drippy and it's dank and you got wet hair. And then you just look and there's just a bunch of huge switches in the panel box and they all say things like F5, you know, or zzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz real beep of like the microwave going off and then on again or whatever up in the kitchen. You know, meanwhile, you've turned everything in the house off, you know, and everything is blinking and nothing has retained its memory. So you don't screw with that, especially as you get you're trying to get the heater to work and the furnace and you're trying to get the tree to work and the outside of the house and everybody else on the block is doing the same thing. And you don't want to be the guy who's just, you know. It was just jackassing up the whole, the whole place. So just don't do that, especially if it's the first winter you've been in a house. You don't know what the electrical system can handle, what it can't. Just don't. Don't. There's no point. There's no purpose in that. There, you have. You know. We have technology, and by technology I mean phones. And by phones I mean a phone you can use to call Squires Electric and have them come make sure that you're not going to. You're not going to burn your house down. It's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical supervisors and contractors. 503-252-1609 or SquiresElectric.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Well, I received an email from alert listener Matt, who subject, how to pronounce, you know, that town.
Right.
And he says, it's Puyallup. I've lived in the Northwest my entire life, and I still mess it up.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult, it's weird. It's a strange town to pronounce.
Okay. There was a major roadblock Saturday for controversial Westboro Baptist Church protesters who have a habit of showing up at military funerals. Residents in Weston, Missouri stood up for fallen soldier First Sergeant C.J. Saddell. Marine Corps veteran Eric Moser says community members came out in force to block the protesters.
What is the name of this cut?
Westboro.
Let's see. Westboro.
This corner is where their permit that they got to protest is for this corner. So we got here long before they did so that they couldn't have this corner.
Oh, that's interesting. So they actually found out where the permit was granted and they just sort of filled the space themselves.
Nice.
That's interesting. That had never even occurred. Because there were the guys who were just going in the parking in the motorcycles between the protesters and the funeral and just sort of revving the engines loud enough that the protest couldn't be heard. Then there's the guys who were just sort of infiltrating it with their own signs that just, you know, whatever, God hates toast or something. But so these guys are actually just going and filling it up in advance.
Yeah.
Well thought.
Rebecca Rooney explains how the community strategically drove the protesters out of town.
We got everybody here early so that they could take up all the parking spots. So that Mr. Phelps wouldn't have a contingency that was really close.
She also explains why the community felt so strongly about preventing the protests.
When you think about it, they've all, you know, gone and served just that we could do this and, you know, be able to even have our say. So that's what it was all about. And so he didn't die in vain, that's for sure.
Do you think somebody ought to give the Fred Phelps guys a reality show? Yeah? I mean... as we all know, sort of the best way to, the best way to eradicate folks like that is to just sort of, is to expose their numbskullery to a bright light. And you know that he'd jump at it because he's an attention whore.
Yeah, but people who are on, I mean, there's a lot of just douchey idiots who have reality shows, and they become like stars. People admire them simply because they're on television. I mean, look at the Jersey Shore people.
I think it's great that you've equated the Jersey Shore people to the Westboro Baptist Church group.
They're offensive in a completely different way, but still. Let's do some science news.
Here's your science on the march for Monday right here at Legion of News.
Frogs in a New Mexico pond are surfacing with either too many legs or too few, and one university researcher says he's pinpointed the cause. People have been concerned about whether or not the water was contaminated and whether it was harmful to humans, but officials at Los Lunas, New Mexico, said they didn't know about the frogs until they were contacted by a local news organization. Immediately, Parks and Recreation Director Michael Jaramillo closed off the pond and had the water tested. Michael Mason Ryan, an amphibian expert at the University of New Mexico, is investigating the frog deformities, and he said, in the big picture of the number of ponds and the number of frog species we have in this country, it's kind of a relatively rare event, you know, for frogs to grow extra legs. Ryan said this is New Mexico's first known case of bullfrog deformities. Out of the 178 frogs collected, he said 80% were deformed and all were juveniles. As with most stories in biology, it's a complex story with multiple things happening to cause this, he said. Predators are responsible for the frogs that are missing legs, and a parasite called trematode causing three or more legs in some frogs. They have a complex life cycle where they go through a bird into a snail, and they live in the water, and then they enter the developing tadpole. Oh, that would be the trematodes. I thought that he was talking about the frogs.
No, that wouldn't make any sense at all.
So the trematodes go through a bird and then into a snail, then they live in the water, then they enter a developing tadpole. He says he believes something must have happened in the pond to trigger a spike in the parasite's population. Our nitrogen level may have been high in the pond sometime last year due to the possible overspill of fertilizer.
But so the frogs, let me understand this. So they were trying to figure out the deal, but the frogs that are missing legs, it's just because something bit them off.
Right. Probably okay. Because predators don't want to eat the mutated frogs because they know that they're bad.
Okay. Well, that's a fair point. And so then the other frogs have all got like 9 legs or something.
Yeah, they have like an extra one or
something.
Well,
I mean, who are we to interfere with that? That might end up being a genetic advantage. You know what I mean?
So a combination of this one particular parasite and a nitrogen spill, you know, from fertilizer, extra legs on the frogs.
But I'm just saying, can't you? But isn't this nature's way of righting itself? Because if they're constantly if they're being attacked by predators who are snapping off their legs, you need spares.
Yeah.
So, like, if frogs ideally need 4 legs, because a predator's going to bite off 1 or 2, if you're born with 6, you're all set.
Really, that is evolution.
It's a zero-sum game, friends. It's a wash.
And if you're one of those animals that eats the frog's legs, it's all just a win for you.
That's what I'm saying, really. It's, you know.
Yeah. A new report says fast food chains are not doing enough to market healthier options in kids' meals. Jennifer Harris with the Yale University Red Center for Food Policy and Obesity says mystery shoppers were sent to 12 different fast food chains to order kids' meal combos.
We had people go in and order a kids' meal, and what happened is most of the time the restaurant employees automatically provided the French fries or the soft drink when you ordered the kids' meal, so they didn't even ask.
As it should be. That's what they're paid for.
Those bastards actually giving people what they order off of the menu. Harris says restaurants are automatically doling out French fries and soft drinks with their kid meal combos instead of something better.
When parents order a kid's meal instead of...
What a joyless prig this woman sounds like. What a sad, miserable, squinched up, funless life she must have.
When parents order a kid's meal instead of automatically giving them the French fries, they could automatically give them the healthier side.
Yes, have a side of lettuce, kids.
The ones that cost the restaurant chain more to produce, so they don't have as high of a profit margin, and which they only provide basically to keep people like this from complaining.
It has nothing to do with the profit margin. It's just like people don't want it. There's a reason you're going to a fast food restaurant. It's not because you want a head of cabbage.
No, but you know that the tiny little small bag of French fries costs McDonald's a hell of a lot less than the sliced apples that have been treated with something to keep them from going brown and that are like vacuum packed in plastic and then kept refrigerated.
Well, but the one of the reasons that it costs them so much less is because they're selling so many of them. That's the thing. I mean, it's like, you know, it's the same reason that the Walmart can sell you shoes for $1.99 because they sell 5 billion pair of them a day.
Harris says the eateries have claimed that they want to help prevent childhood obesity.
What we found is that a lot of restaurants have items on their menu which do qualify as healthy and which have reasonable number of calories, but they don't market those items.
You just know that chick smells. I mean, really, if you get too closer, you just know that she puts off a really, really unpleasant odor.
I'm baffled as to the point of these, you know, these studies. Because, like, really? Because it's, you know, they're fast food chains. They sell crap. If you're going there to buy food for your kid, you're buying crap. You know, if they happen to also have, like, apples or milk, you know, you have that option. But if you're really that concerned about what your kid's eating, don't go to a place that sells crap. Anyway. Whether they're only children or one of 5, teens and preteens make plenty of friends, a new research concludes. The new study should offer comfort to parents that their kids will grow up to be just fine no matter how many they decide to have. It may be a growing concern. With women having kids later in life and pocketbooks tightening against an economic downturn, the number of families with only children has nearly doubled to about 20% since the 1960s, according to the National Center for Health Statistics. Donna Bobbitt-Zayer, a sociologist with Ohio State University in Columbus, says people are having smaller families and more children are growing up with fewer siblings. What this study suggests is that there really isn't a need to worry for parents who have only children in terms of their social development. The stereotype of a lonely, spoiled, bossy, and maladjusted only child dates back to 1896 when an American psychologist named Granville Stanley Hall did a research paper on the subject. Despite major flaws in his study and fundamental changes to the structure of family life since then, the stereotype has generally stuck around.
You have lots of siblings, don't you, Don?
I'm an only child.
Oh, really?
And I grew up just fine.
It's hard to believe.
I had lots of friends, and I wasn't dorky and maladjusted at all.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't think that had anything to do with not having brothers and sisters.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that just had to do with being dorky and maladjusted.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Yeah. You came from a large family.
I did. I did. I was ensconced in a large nest of siblings. Yes.
And how popular and well adjusted were you?
Well, not at all. But yeah. You know, I like to think that's just because of the radiation. Speaking of which, we got a fantastic radiation story coming up next hour that was spotted by listener Dan. So we have a fine radioactive story from my hometown. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program airs at rickemerson.com. You can find out more about that just by going to blog.rickemerson.com or rickemerson.com. Click on the Rick Emerson Show there. We'll have Mr. Aaron Duran joining us for the Week in Geek. We'll also do the top five zombie songs, Corpse Watch, Penis Watch. We'll recap last night's Walking Dead, also Boardwalk Empire, Season 1, Episode 8, which aired last night. You are currently listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can get this program via iTunes later on today, and you can also get it as an MP3 download directly here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. It is provided to you in part by Castalia Language Center. You can find out more about them at PortlandSpanish.com. That is Portland Spanish. PortlandSpanish.com is Castalia Language Center, where they offer Spanish language classes for adults, because your kids are almost certainly, if you do have children, there is a near 100% certainty that they're learning Spanish in school right now, or some language, and they're learning it much earlier than they did 10 or 20 or 25 years ago, where you didn't, you get this stuff till high school, and then they jam you into a classroom with 50 other kids for 2 years, and they have you memorize a bunch of stuff that you will never then know how to use in conversation, that you will not be able to use colloquially, and that you really just memorize, especially within the last 15 years or so, that you just memorize long enough so that you can pass the standardized test so that your school continues to get, like, some bare minimum amount of federal funding. This helps no one. So now that you are an adult and you can make your own decisions and your own choices, you can actually opt to take a Spanish language class that is going to help you speak the language conversationally, and that is Castalia Language Center. You go to Portland Spanish. .com. Find out the class time and the schedule that works best for you. They'll find the day of the week and a time of the day that works with your schedule, and you're going to be in a class with no more than 7 of your peers, which means a class size of no more than 8 people. You get near individualized attention, and you're going to learn to speak the language casually and conversationally. So PortlandSpanish.com is the website for Castalia Language Center. Please tell me you heard it here at Legion of News. Here is Don Taylor.
In hopes of bolstering our defenses in the event of a major food crisis, researchers sent tens of thousands of seeds from different types of rice last week to a doomsday vault in the archipelago Svalbard. Contained in black boxes,
the archipelago what?
Svalbard.
Okay.
Contained in black boxes, the 42,000...
What's an archipelago?
Isn't that a collection of small islands?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Contained in black... Was that just a test?
Yes.
No. Oh. Contained in black boxes, the 42,627 samples of rice seeds traveled to the mountains of the Norwegian archipelago, about 746 miles from the North Pole. The Svalbard Global Seed Vault is buried deep inside the icy mountains, where it protects all of the world's important crop seeds in case of a man-made or natural disaster. The rice collection was sent from the International Rice Research Institute, whose first deposit to the Doomsday Vault included 70,000 rice seed samples set in 2008. If ideal temperature and storage conditions remain inside the vault, seeds can be stored for hundreds of years, scientists say. The giant ice box was officially opened on February 26, 2008, and is designed to protect the world's crop diversity from natural or man-made disasters. It's dug into the Platyburgit Mountain, located near the village of Longyearbyen, Svalbard. a group of islands north of mainland Norway.
I'm going to put you in charge of the pronunciation for all things that we do on this program, like forevermore. Boy, God forbid that they actually rely on you to tell them where those seeds are. Like, what if you're like one of the last three people on Earth and they go, Don, you were a news person. Where are the seeds, Kathy? And you go, it's at Hingenflurgzorgensens.
I could say Svalbard.
Uh-huh.
I'll say Svalbard. And they'll say, where in Svalbard? And I'll say, well, it's near the village of Longyearbyen.
It's where the Jenkins barn used to be.
Yeah.
It's not there anymore, of course.
Anyway, if the mountain of snow enshrouding the storage rooms isn't enough protection...
Are you sure you're not just reading Tolkien names?
There are also polar bears.
At the mountain of snow. All right.
The area is inhabited by polar bears.
Uh-huh.
So don't think about going and stealing the rice seeds.
Okay. If it's inhabited by polar bears, doesn't it mean that if there is some sort of man-made disaster, we need to go get the seeds, we won't be able to because the polar bears will be there waiting for us?
It could be difficult, yes.
Okay. That's good that they've thought this through.
Maybe that's one of those things like putting your credit card behind the refrigerator. So that's like, you know you're not going to go there unless you really absolutely need it.
Yeah, but you're not putting your... You're not filling the back of the refrigerator with anacondas as well. All right. This is like how they keep those Johnny Carson episodes underneath Colorado. Like if you go to, I think it's in Boulder, in the outskirts of Boulder, where there's these huge, I don't know if they're above ground or below ground, masses of granite. But they've just carved these huge, huge underground climate-controlled vaults under the city of Boulder into the granite, where they keep all of the original episodes of the existing Johnny Carson shows. Same thing they do, by the way, with the genealogical records for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And both of those things, I think, ought to be protected by bears.
No, they're a national treasure, Don.
That's all our science news.
All right, there you go. There's your science news. You're at Legion of News. Here at Cascadia.fm, here is Don Taylor.
Let's do a little, let's do something in between that and the entertainment news, shall we? Let's break it up a bit. Hey.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah. Okay. That music is perfect, by the way.
Excellent.
The FBI says a nationwide crackdown on the sexual exploitation of children over the last 3 days resulted in the rescue of 23 child prostitutes in the Puget Sound area.
Why is that the appropriate music for the child prostitute story?
It's not.
Is it just because using this would have...
Now, that would have been really wrong.
Walk on, walk on, with hope.
Also wrong. Okay.
Okay. This is probably best done without some music. Stephen Dean, assistant special agent in charge of the Bureau's Seattle office, said the busts in King, Pierce, and Snohomish counties uncovered more child prostitutes than anywhere else in the country. For the third year in a row, we've led the nation, which is a good and bad thing, Dean said. It's a bad thing that the problem is so serious. It's a good thing that law enforcement in the Seattle metro area is on top of it, and we're addressing it.
No, I don't think there's any good there. I think he's trying to make a have out of a have-not. I think that falls into the category labeled just bad.
Yeah. Nationally, a total of 69 child prostitutes were found in 40 cities, and agents also arrested 884 people, including 99 suspected pimps, on a variety of charges. 9 of the suspected pimps were arrested in Western Washington, along with 26 adult prostitutes. The children were found during Operation Cross Country 5, a 3-day roundup targeting child traffickers and pimps.
Hosted by Jeff Probst.
Vote them out of the brothel. A convicted sex abuser who went berserk during his trial in Washington County last month was sentenced to more than 8 years in prison Monday. Felix Espinosa Quiroz was sentenced to 2 counts of sex abuse and tampering with a witness. Last month during his trial, he started to yell while his 15-year-old accuser was testifying. Then he flipped over the table he was sitting at, and it took 3 deputies to subdue him. It was all caught on surveillance camera. The video shows Quiroz in a light blue shirt and... flipping over the table. The jury was hung on 19 counts, which means Quiroz could be tried again for those charges, but the 15-year-old girl would have to testify again.
You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes your way shortly after 1 o'clock. After this program ends, a brief musical interlude, followed by the Rick Emerson Show with a corpse watch today. Penis watch, Mr. Aaron Duran will be here with the Week in Geek, and we'll do the top 5 zombie songs. We have, let me see if I can, I'll actually just pull the story out here so I've got it ready. Right here. It's one of the best stories you've heard all day. Listener Dan sent this to us, so we'll get to this later on. That is coming up at rickemerson.com about 20 minutes from now. That is shortly after 1 o'clock Pacific time at rickemerson.com.
Let's do entertainment news.
Let's do that entertainment news, Don. Hoopa!
Singer-actress Leanne Rimes posted on her Twitter account on Friday that she is not engaged to boyfriend Eddie Cibrian.
I thought she was married to some guy. Or did she get a divorce?
She got a divorce. That was the whole big thing, was that apparently she was fooling around with Eddie Cibrian when they made a Lifetime movie together. Right. And there...
Isn't Cibrian a drug?
Cibrian, yes. This is Cibrian with a B.
Oh, okay. All right.
E! News reported the rumor on Thursday. "I've about had it," said Rimes. Even though this is positive news, it's not true. Eddie and I are beyond happy and in love and look forward to one day sharing such private news with you all. And hopefully you will be able to enjoy it privately and share it with your family and friends. Wow, that was a long tweet.
That's more than 140 characters.
Yeah, it must have been multiple tweets. Harry Potter actress Emma Watson is not too happy that fake nude photos, which have her superimposed on a woman's body, have been circulating at Brown University, where she is majoring in English literature. There have been a number of nude fakes over the past 2 months, said Watson's spokesperson.
Oh, yeah, over the last 2 months.
Emma has seen them and finds them
just started.
Tiresome.
Uh-huh.
People
How old is she?
Know better. I don't know, she's like 19.
She's been legal for a while
for a
now,
little bit,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I would imagine that, I really honestly don't know about this because I find the whole weird, erotic fan lit thing to be like creepy on a level that I can't even really describe. But
Not
I would.
Just because you have never read any really good Harry Potter Snape's slash porn.
Yeah, that's probably it. Although I will tell you actually that when it first started to emerge into the cultural mainstream, I did read some like Spock Kirk slash lit just because I wanted to know what the deal was, because I was like, well, I hear it's the rage with ladies these days, and so I just read it was just so disturbing. It just unsettled me in the deepest way. But I would imagine that there was some applet that was distributed all across the internet that counted down the time to her legality, just as there was for the Olsen twins, and there was a torrent of fan created art and stories that flooded the web that moment. I will guarantee you that
she is a lovely young woman. She really is.
I'm just saying,
those Potter kids actually grew up pretty good.
She should get used to this though, because this is like the next 70 years of her life.
You know, for a while, it looked like Ron Weasley might be going Bonaducci. But no, he actually turned out okay.
And he ended up being, he's an attractive man, too.
He is.
What is his name? Is it Rupert Grint?
Yes.
The guy that plays Ron Weasley. He actually, because he looks gangly and weird in so many of the films, he actually ended up being a good-looking guy.
And a really good actor. He's made a couple of non-Harry Potter films that he's very, very good in.
And then I should make the obligatory, like, radio guy observation about Daniel Radcliffe and his wiener hanging out at that play he did, Don.
Well, there is that.
All right.
Conan O'Brien is going to late-night television tonight. His show debuts on TBS. The comedian is banking on ratings and redemption after the programming fiasco at NBC, which led to his departure. The Hollywood Reporter's Matthew Baloney says Conan's return sets off an unprecedented battle in late night between some giant talents.
Now you have three heavyweights overlapping. Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert are also players in this, in addition to Jay Leno and David Letterman.
And here's the thing that people haven't really mentioned, this has sort of gone underneath the radar, is that if you compare the ratings of Leno Letterman and Jon Stewart, for the first time, Jon Stewart is actually the most highly rated program in late night. So he has surpassed the ratings of Leno and Letterman, which is fairly astounding. When you consider that it's not even really about Stewart versus Letterman or Leno at that point, it's just that one of the major networks no longer has the highest rated program in late night, which is the first time that's ever happened. Even when it wasn't Leno or Letterman, before it was always Ted Koppel with Nightline. So this is the first time that a network doesn't have that.
Well, and he says the TBS show represents a chance for Conan to prove once again that he's one of comedy's best.
It's absolutely a shot at redemption for Conan O'Brien. I mean, the way that he was sort of cast out of NBC, he took it very personal. Conan is starting from scratch. If it succeeds, it's a huge personal redemption for him.
By the way, and I got to give it up for that guy, to the way he embraced the name Coco. He recognized the inevitable. He knew that it was like quicksand. The more he fought, the more it was going to entrench itself.
Yeah, he really hated it at first.
Oh, yeah.
He just tried to get people to stop.
He just sucked it up and took it on the chin.
But now if you go to his website, it's like Coco this and Team Coco that. Yeah. And
can't fight the tape, Don.
Yeah. Anyway, actor David Hasselhoff is on board, more or less.
As long as he doesn't do any David Hasselhoff jokes, which is probably impossible for him, he'll just be fine.
Do you get the feeling David Hasselhoff was just on his way to the dry cleaners or the liquor store or something, and they just sort of stuck a microphone in his face?
Hey, what do you think about Conan O'Brien? Come on.
Pretty drunk. I don't know.
I just vomited on myself. Deadline.com reports that Hugh Jackman, who hosted the Oscars 2 years ago, has turned down an offer to host the 83rd Academy Awards.
I always feel like there's a joke in his name and I can never quite make it happen.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, like how much Ackman? Huge Ackman. Yeah. Yeah, see, it doesn't really work.
No.
Not like Miles O'Toole or something.
Miles O'Keefe.
No, Miles O'Toole, though, is...
No, but the joke is... Yeah, but the joke, the MST3K joke was Miles O'Keefe.
I know, but I'm saying
how
for me...
How much O'Keefe is in this movie?
Miles O'Toole. O'Keefe.
But there's no such person as
there
Miles.
There is.
Is there?
There is.
Who?
There's an author, Miles O'Toole.
Is there really?
How much Toole?
Miles.
That's it. Never mind. You can't. Yeah. Look, if you're going to take apart the game to see how it works, suddenly it's going to be less fun, Don.
Anyway, Hugh Jackman isn't going to do the
Academy. Toy with me.
Anyway. He's currently preparing for X-Men Origins Wolverine 2, which
that's a much better idea than doing the Oscars.
Yeah, except that weirdly it's going to be directed by Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's going to be good. I mean, come on.
No, but Aronofsky's he's got a hell of a track record so far.
All right.
Well. Yeah. Lindsay Lohan's mother says her daughter's treatment for addiction at the Betty Ford Clinic has been life-changing. Dina Lohan says the world-renowned addiction center in Rancho Mirage, California, is an amazing place that has really dug into the mean girl actress's problems and brought them to the surface. She said Lindsay, who was seen shopping on an approved outing over the weekend, is happy and relaxed.
Whenever I hear a place that the first name of the location is Rancho, doesn't that just sound like something that a white man made up that isn't really a word?
Yeah.
Rancho just sounds like some Kenny Powers thing that you would say. Isn't that where doesn't Marge go to Rancho Relaxo or something in that episode of The Simpsons? Rancho doesn't sound like it could possibly be an actual Spanish word. That's a thing I should ask Clara Greble at some point when Laura and I start taking the Castalia language in her classes. I'm just saying Rancho sounds fake. It doesn't sound like a real word.
Oh, by the way, I was looking for this. I follow Andy Richter on Twitter. And over the weekend, he said on Twitter, because he is going to be Conan's sidekick yet again, he said on Twitter, spent weekend practicing sidekicking, which means laughing at everything everyone who makes more money than me says. Man, am I ready.
There you go. Hey, you are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. The Rick Emerson Show comes up later on after 1 o'clock today with Mr. Aaron Duran with the Week in Geek. We'll also have the Corpse Watch, Penis Watch, your top five zombie songs. We'll do a recap of last night's Walking Dead as well as the season finale of Eastbound and Down. Legion of News brought to you by fine business partners such as CJ's High Climbing Services. Find out more about them at cjshighclimbing.com or you can call 503-228-9278. 503-228-9278. And something we should actually know, we talked last week about how, you know, it's that time of the year where you got a husband, boyfriend. It's always like 98 times out of 100, it's a guy. The husband, boyfriend, your dad or an older brother or just like an uncle who's like maybe aged who comes around the house to fix things now and again. And you just sense the worst. You just sense the worst. You know that the night is going to end with you sitting there in the emergency room watching a rerun of Cops while you wait for them to put pins into one of his legs or something. So just avoid that whole thing. You contact CJ's High Climbing, Gary, who is the proprietor of CJ's High Climbing, when he started running the company, one of the first things he did was actually get OSHA, which is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. He actually consulted with Oregon OSHA and with Sanderson Safety Supply, and he has a whole, they have the entire structure in place to make sure that, you know, that it's not going to go, it's not going to end in a lot of bone-crunchingly ill-advised behavior. And even if it does, here's the thing, it's not happening to you. It's happening to the guys who work at CJ's High Climbing.
You know what's interesting is that pretty much all of our spots, when we talk about the fine sponsors that we have, we're advising people to use their products and services so that they won't die a horrible, hazardous death.
Well, it's all about finding the right incentive, Don. As I think Stephen Levitt would tell you, it's all about finding the right motivation for the human being. And I would say the urge to not take the rest of your meals through a straw while having a nurse jam a rag on a stick down between your body and the body cast that surrounds you. That strong motivation, that's more, much more so than just be like, I don't know, I'm real tired after I clean the gutters.
Yeah, that you have an excellent point there, Mr. Emerson.
But you're
excellent
also
point.
You're also really tired of cleaning the gutters, though. I mean, let's just say. And also,
sometimes you're just lazy and tired and you don't want to do it.
Sometimes you're just a big fat ass like myself and you're just like, F it, I got a phone, I'm going to call a guy, he's going to come do it. That guy, by the way, is Gary at CJ's High Climbing, or also Sean, Bo, Lauren, any of those folks. You can find out more about him at cjshighclimbing.com or call 503-228-9278. 503-228-9278 for a dangerous, risky, unpleasant, and messy, or other home maintenance tasks you just don't want to do. You call CJ's High Climbing. This is Don Taylor.
Senator-elect Rand Paul of Kentucky says he's proud that the Tea Party is shaping more of a national debate, particularly over the national debt. Appearing on ABC's This Week, Paul said the federal payroll, among other things, has gotten out of hand.
I would freeze federal hiring. I would maybe reduce federal employees by 10%. I'd probably reduce their wages by 10%. The average federal employee makes $120,000 a year. The average private employee makes $60,000 a year.
A little bit of a Matthew McConaughey thing going on there.
And let's find savings. Let's hire no new federal workers.
Paul disagreed with those who say he's speaking in generalities when he says there should be across-the-board federal spending cuts.
What if I were president and I said to you tomorrow we're going to have a 5% cut across the board in everything? That's not a generality, but there are thousands of programs. You need to ask of every program when we take no program off the table, can it be downsized? Can it be privatized? Can it be made smaller?
Privatized is not a word. Also, when you say a 5% cut in everything, that is the definition of a generality.
That is indeed a generality, yes.
He should go back to having people beaten at his events. That was much more interesting.
Yeah, the stomping. The stomping.
That should be his thing. It should be, you know, it should be like his gimmick. You know, sort of like at some point, like when, like, you know, how, like, Kenny gets killed in every episode of South Park. It's just at every Rand Paul event, and you never know who it's going to be. It could be you. It could be one of the reporters. Could be some guy in the crowd. Could be the guy selling waffles across the street. Somebody gets savagely beaten at every Rand Paul event. I bet the turnout, here's the thing, you'd be able to really jack up the number of people that went to see him speak and who therefore were exposed to his ideas and his policies if they knew that, you know. So
yeah.
Sort of a
even when he's in the Senate,
yeah.
If he's going to stand up and speak, someone in that room will get stomped.
Somebody's going to get an ass beating. Sort of a be like a Lee Atwater meets Shirley Jackson kind of a thing. On that note, we will bring the curtain down on this episode of Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. We come to you each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gale. Executive producer Bruce Agler. Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemerson.com. We will see you again tomorrow at noon. Thank you for listening to Legion of News. Have a satisfying Monday, won't you please?